born to broadcast. Television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with producer Scott Eckersley, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Senator Jim Marlowe, a Republican from Lake Orion. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Cheryl. I'm just fine. Thank you for asking.
Very good. We're gonna get hit with freezing rain and ice here. What is it looking like in your neck of the woods?
Well, I'm still here in the Capitol, I'm in my office looking at the Capitol, and so I haven't left Lansing yet today.
Well, take great care as you go.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I wanted to talk to you about a law you're introducing, a bill you're introducing, that's called the I'm Sorry Law, and I'll let you describe what it is, and then we'll get some detail.
Well, let's just start from the beginning. This bill actually started in 2005, and it just couldn't go anywhere. And then I tried it last year in 2010, and couldn't even get it taken up in committee, health policy. And so then we moved on, and we ran for a Senate seat, and we were successful, came back, and it was the first bill that I put in for, because I firmly believe in trying to cut our costs and our expenses and trying to hold down costs in health care, and I believe that this is a way that will help. So from that, here's where we go.
Okay.
It's a situation that predominantly right now, insurance companies that insure our health care providers, and they always have to have, you know, liability insurance and errors and omission and all that type of stuff. The situation is that they are coached and suggested that the health care providers do not talk to the patients when something goes wrong in a procedure, and don't talk to the loved one or don't talk to the family. And what seems to happen, Cheryl, is the patient becomes dissatisfied. They need closure in this area, and sometimes, you know, these do result in death, and so that's why the family needs some closure. And when you have a healthcare provider, you pick your healthcare providers personally, and you know these people in most cases, and so you don't understand why they don't communicate with you. And the main reason, I hope your listeners understand, is the main reason is anything they say can and will be used against them in the court of law. And what my bill does is say that if they do tell a patient that they're sorry and explain anything that they want to, it cannot be used in the court of law against the individual that gives tells them that they're sorry. And it's so simple. And it's you know, the way I tell the story is in my house, there's three magic words when my children were growing up. And that was many years ago, by the way, because I noticed you have some girls in college also, Cheryl.
Oh, you researched me, too.
Uh-huh. and I guarantee you that my interns keep me young here in this office, okay? But anyways, and we're thankful for interns, you know, here in Lansing. But the main thing is that we're able to tell the patient that they're sorry, and they can basically get some relief. And where this goes from here is 35 other states already have this implemented. We might be the 36th state or 37th state, I don't know which, whenever this comes to fruition sometime this spring. But what happens is that the statistics show in these other states, within a 3-year period after this becomes law, their litigation diminishes by 50%. And there has to be a direct correlation to the savings on the insurance side for those that have to afford insurance for these things. Either the employer or the individual has to pick up the tab, depending on how you're working in the healthcare profession. And I'm a firm believer that these are directly related to the premiums that we all pay.
So. Well, and it seems from doing, because I did research too. Mm-hmm. I don't have an intern, but I you're a lucky guy. But I did it too. Several hospitals have done this in the state. University of Michigan Health System, Henry Ford Health System, mm-hmm. St. Joe Mercy already have policies that encourage providers to be honest and apologize to patients and families when medical errors occur. And in direct to your point, they say that the dollars spent on insurance claims have gone down, and the time of the law any lawsuit has gone down as well.
Yes, and that is true. So this is why I say it's a true savings, and I'm asking, you know, anybody in the medical field that can help me with any other thoughts on how that we can make their job in the medical field easier. If there's something that they just say, you know, I really think that this is wrong, you know, I'm a firm believer that time is money, if somebody has to be doing something in duplicate or triplicate, and it takes time and effort and everything else, I'm the one that wants to hear about this, because I'm a firm believer that the more time you can spend with a patient, the better off we are.
There are a couple of things that I found particularly, frankly, poignant in reading about this. And one was from a gentleman named Rick Boothman in an article I read, who was mm-hmm. chief risk officer at U of M. He said, if a provider hurts someone due to a medical error, the university staff, and this is a quote from the article, will be honest about it and do what's best to make the situation right. And this is what I thought was an important statement. We shouldn't have to make people sue us if we make a medical error. It's about making it right. And this is where some of the cost savings come in, why still making it as right as can be given the situation. Am I on the right track?
Yes. Yes, you are. And in some cases, you know, they make it right. In some cases, it's all it takes is I guess I'm going to say the good old-fashioned bedside manners that we, you know that our medical field has, but they've not been able to use it in this particular instance when something goes wrong. One of the other things, by the way, Rick Boothman from the University of Michigan was with me in the House. I'm sorry, he was with me in the House committee, and he was also with us in the Senate committee. He testified, and he has a wealth of knowledge, and I can't thank him enough for coming up here to or over to Lansing and you know, being here with us on the issue. One of the other things that I learned, you know, I researched this also, but I didn't quite catch that there is, in these large institutions, there's an incident report. And, you know, Rick, in his testimony, brought it to our attention that after this was implemented at the U of M medical facility, their incident reports quadrupled. And so basically, it allows the employees to talk about it. It allows them to critique a procedure. It allows it, so, you know, it indirectly, the way I look at this is maybe another loved one or another family might not have to experience a situation that's, you know, not pleasant.
And well, it sounds like it can result in better patient care in the long run, given the story you just told us. Mm-hmm. And it allows the apology does not directly relate or does not directly go to guilt. Yeah. It sometimes events simply occur, but it allows, if I'm getting this correctly, the caregiver to apologize that the event occurred, mm-hmm. Without having to take without it being held against him as an admission of guilt in court. So, and that could that it still can go to court, of course,
yes.
But it's not held against him.
That is true. And if malpractice is proven, the the Senate Bill 53, my quote, I'm sorry bill, basically doesn't have any effect. If malpractice is proven, then the Senate Bill 53, the I'm sorry bill, becomes silent.
So it does not erode any civil rights for the victims?
It definitely does not. I would protect, you know, the residents, any residents from all of our residents from Michigan, in any way possible. That is not what we're trying to do. We're basically trying to allow families to have closure, and I think that they just expect it, and they're sort of dismayed when nothing happens, and you know, 1 week turns into 2 months, turns into 6 months, and they become, you know, not very happy citizens of the state of Michigan. So,
well, and as you said, they have developed a relationship with the doctor or caregiver. That's how they picked them.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, the caregiver is rendered silent by their attorney. And this can change that.
Yes, it can. And, you know, like I say, I'm just can't wait till this becomes, you know, a new law here. And hopefully we'll be the 36th state that will have that. And
what is our timetable on that?
It's going to be this spring, but I can't tell you any more than that. It's not available yet, but we hope that it'll be shortly in the spring here. Maybe you know, maybe in April, maybe in May at the earliest. But
I think it's a good thing. I think I know a lot of doctors and I know a lot of folks in the medical profession, and having known some that have kind of been gagged by the way the law reads. I think this is a good thing.
Well, I'm very pleased it passed out of the Senate at 38-0 and passed out of the House at 108-1. There was one abstention and one no. So it's I think we get it here as legislators, and I'm very, very excited.
Very good. Well, Senator Jim Marlowe, thank you for your time this evening. I'll look forward to speaking with you again.
Cheryl, it's a pleasure, and I want to thank you and thank WILS 1320 for this opportunity. And I would also just tell you, as a old manufacturer's rep that used to cover all over the state, talk radio is what kept me going. So thank you for what you do, okay?
Very good. Have a good night and drive safely home.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Senator Jim Marlowe, a Republican of Lake Orion. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.